Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 45 from December the 5th of 1992. It is the Thanksgiving Fallout episode. So here we are, Mike, Doc, Hardbody Harper. Doc, how you doing this week, man?
You know how we spend the first few minutes just jaw-jacking and talking a bunch of mindless shit to get kind of warmed up for the show? We need to get around that. We're going to recap Thanksgiving Thunder. This is serious business. We need to jump right in, so let's do that shit.
Yeah, we just had a long discussion about everything under the sun wrong with the world and how nobody knows how to fix none of it. Harper, how you doing, man? I know I'm keeping you from Golden Girls, and I'm sorry, my apologies, but how you doing, man?
Dick, I'm just sitting here watching Young Guns. Golden Girls probably went off by an hour ago.
So Chavez.
Yeah. Well, where's the spirit world?
Last week we talked about Alice and Flo. Did you try to pull that up on Netflix or something to reconsider your thoughts on if you'd bang Flo or not?
I wouldn't bang her. But the one thing I found out that show was on for 9 years.
Yeah.
9 fucking years.
Flo left, and then they tried to replace her with, like, substitute hussy.
Yeah. That's a long goddamn time.
The only way I'd take on Flo is if I had my dick in her mouth and Vera was back there playing with my butter.
I fucking hate her. She got on my nerves.
Yeah, she was a fucking nitwit.
Fucking all skinny.
Ray, you know what's funny about that show? Like, somebody would complain if you tried to redo that show nowadays. Because the way Mel treated those broads.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, fuck them. Fuck you. Flo, get your... I mean, he didn't curse, obviously, because it was on network television. But, I mean, if he could have cursed, he'd have been like, bitch, come here and get this fucking food and bring it to these fucking people. These poor saps out there. Get your ass... I mean, you couldn't do... The way you used to talk to them women, you couldn't do that now. Somebody would complain. Everybody complains about everything now. This is the age and time of let's offend people, and everybody gets offended. But anyway, all right, let's get into the episode. It is, like I said, this aired December the 5th of 1992. We got Thanksgiving Thunder Fallout. If you don't remember, Thanksgiving Thunder was a four-day-long tour that took place, and a lot of shit would go down. And you know, Bob Cottle is alone at the debate desk as we kick things off, and he tells us that we're going to cover the highlights from the Thanksgiving Thunder tour. Doc, I did want to ask you, before we get into it, just overall thoughts, and if there was anything from the opening that, you know, you thought that came to mind as Bob Cottle introduced the episode today.
Where's Dutch?
Yeah.
Well, Dutch isn't there. It's kind of sad because I kind of missed the sign this week. Go ahead, Harper.
I was thinking, where's Dutch and how come I don't hear a crowd?
Yeah, it's weird because you're so used to that live audience. Mm. By the way, it's funny you say that. Don't you like the way they open the episodes each week?
Yeah.
Live crowd. I mean, in front of the live crowd like that?
Yep.
Yeah. And it gets straight to wrestling. There's generally no bullshit after about a minute and a half of them jaw-jacking. None of that shit we see nowadays. All right, so let me say this before we get into the show. Pause the show and go give us a 5-star review on iTunes right now and write us some nice comments if you love what we do. We'd appreciate it. As of the recording, which we're doing this on June the 2nd of 2017, we are at 71 reviews, and we would appreciate some more 5-star reviews. Doc said we needed to get to 75 before we would play more corny promos on the flagship show. So hopefully we've reached that goal at this point. If we haven't, please help us out and give us a 5-star review right now. All right, on to the show. We have a first kind of recap that they do is from Freedom Hall in Johnson City. It's a battle royal where the fans pick the winner and the fans get a special surprise. I didn't understand why they called it Pick the Winner Battle Royal, but I do understand why they called it that. It just kind of felt like it was a little misleading term. But anyway, Tracy Smothers gets the win here. There wasn't much build to this whole thing, but this is probably the right guy to win it since he's so new to the area, and it gives the good Southern people something to cheer about in Freedom Hall in Johnson City. So, Doc, what thoughts did you have about the match, about the Battle Royal just in general?
Just that Smothers was over, and you know, he needs it. Like you said, he needs this more than Night Stalker or Dirty White Boy do.
Agree. I thought he was the right guy to win. Harper, what did you think?
Yes. He needs this to help get himself over. And I'm so glad that kid fucking won that VCR, man.
God, well, I got a note about that. I'm glad you mentioned that. So after the match, they present a young man named Josh Jenkins, a VCR, because he was the one who actually picked the winner of the Battle Royal. I guess he picked that some others would be the winner. Man, that's 1992. I bet that was really like winning something nice, because a VCR back then was still pretty damn expensive. I mean, it wasn't what it was 10 years prior, but it was pretty damn expensive. I didn't get one for another 4 years in like 96 or 97. This kid is 4 to 5 years ahead of me. Doc, did anything go through your mind when the kid won the VCR?
Yeah, here's my note.
Oh, shit.
We can make fun.
Oh, fuck.
We could make fun of this little shit for winning a VCR, but I'd have been ecstatic if someone would have given me a VCR in 1992.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck yeah.
So the other thing, though, is, you know, my other thinking about that is, but the difference is between me and that little shit is that I wouldn't have pawned it for meth and, you know, let my life go down
That's
the path
nice.
That it probably went down, or pawned it and got a little some new supplies for the still.
Harper, let him have it.
That's real classy.
Doc, that's a kid. Come on.
Not a kid anymore. He's probably a toothless piece of shit.
Wow.
Fucking dude, you try so hard to be like Dutch Mantell. It's not funny.
That, you know, I could picture him now being like 30 years old wearing a fucking Tennessee Titans baseball cap. Like some guy you see on Cops. Like getting the
wife beater on.
Uh-huh.
Smoking a Swisher Sweet.
Yeah, driving like an old fucking Camaro with fucking Flowmasters on it.
with his foot on the bumper. Hey, baby.
What's up, girl?
What's up, girl? Why don't you let me knock that down?
You like
he's got three teeth in his mouth? Okay. All right. Oh, well, let's go from that. So, hey, If Josh Jenkins listens to this, I'd love to hear from him, because that, you know, I gotta admit, I would have been ecstatic to win a VCR at that point. I mean, Jesus Christ, I can't even put it into words. But after the match, Tracy Smothers cuts a promo, so let's listen to what Tracy Smothers has to say after winning the Battle Royal.
Tell you what, they took a little too long. They had you double teamed there. You know, I know you've been doing great things in tag team wrestling over the last couple of years. Now you've come here, you've switched over to a single. I know the transition can be a little tough, Tracy, but you're doing a heck of a job.
Thanks, Les. I want to thank Sandy Scott. I'd like to thank Bullet Bob Armstrong for giving me the opportunity to compete. Hold it up. To compete in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But all I want to know is it's great to be alive and be in the great state of Tennessee. Mr. Thatcher, this is, you're definitely right. This is a step up the ladder. This is my chance. I've got something to prove. I'm going to prove to every man, woman, and child in Johnson City, Tennessee, and the millions of people that watch Smoky Mountain Wrestling, that Tracy Smothers, the wild-eyed Southern boy, can do it on his own. It takes the hard times to appreciate the good times. I can't change the things I did in the past. All I can do is correct the future, and the future is now. 1992 is the year that the South shall rise again.
Thank you, good luck to you. The winner of the Battle Royal is here, and thanks to
Tracy Smothers is perfect for that territory. I just can't keep saying it. He is that, the gimmick, everything, he's perfect for it. Harper, go ahead. Do you got any thoughts from the promo other than what I just said?
He's their Hulk Hogan, man.
As crazy as that sounds, it's true.
He's their Superman. He's their Captain America.
I mean, he's like, he gives them a purpose, I guess, so to say. I guess is what I'm looking for. They can live vicariously through him, which is what, you know, wrestling is supposed to be. So I loved it. Doc, did you have anything?
He's so white meat baby face here.
Yeah.
I mean, he shakes Les's hand afterwards to thank him for interviewing him. Jesus, what a perfect touch.
Yes. He just, and it, I can't, I keep saying it, it's that aw shucks to him.
Mm. He's a wild eyed, he's that wide eyed, wild, just, it's, he's everything Tim Horner wants to be.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, Harper, I know you've worked with him, like, how, just in the back, like, how's Tracy? He's just a cool guy, like, just real laid back?
He's fucking, no, he's fucking crazy.
Is he?
Yeah.
What he's do you mean crazy? Crazy?
He's like, he's fucking crazy, and he's off the wall, man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to be laid back. I've just heard him on, I've heard him on Terry Garvin Sims' podcast, and he just seems like a laid back, like, just, like, you know, not doesn't get real excited on that podcast.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Okay. He gets excited.
Okay. Yeah, when you say crazy, you mean he gets excited. He gets into. Okay. Yeah, he's not, yeah. Harper doesn't mean crazy in the literal sense.
He definitely takes it very seriously.
Oh, yeah, I don't, yeah, that's how you should be. Like, you know what I think you mean? Well, I don't, do you mean he's intense?
Yeah. I'll say that.
All right. That makes sense. Yeah, I agree. Chris Adams, that's how Chris Adams always was whenever I was around him. For the most part, he was always, like, he just was real intense. I never saw him, like, laid back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we go from Tracy's promo to there's a Tim Horner and Rock and Roll Express promo. I am not going to play that because it would spoil things that are later in this episode. So
yeah,
that will get played at the end of the episode, and I'll throw it up on YouTube as well. So Tim Horner and Rock and Roll Express promo. Let's keep quiet on that because it would spoil things later on in the show. From there, we go to Orndorff versus Danny Davis and Ronnie Garvin. I don't like this match at all. It's not a three-way dance. This is Davis and Garvin basically tagging against Orndorff, and Garvin and Davis win, but Orndorff loses his mind after and pile drives Danny Davis again. He's about to pile drive Garvin when Horner comes in and makes a save. Looks like maybe Horner's going to do something now with Garvin. Who knows, just based on the save. I just don't know how two baby faces tagging up against a heel makes sense, and I'm sure it's just something Corny had to do for this card and to actually finish off that angle. I don't know if I really liked it. Doc, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, though.
Did you see Paul Orndorff come off the top rope, though?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Orndorff, you know.
And I don't think that we've blown anything off here, so I think this will Danny Davis got stuck again with an awesome pile driver. So Orndorff strong.
Yeah, nothing's resolved. Orndorff is hell of a... Orndorff and his pile drivers, we've said it a bunch, are really, really good.
Was this the camcorder match?
No, that was later in the tag teams.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's in the tag teams. That's in the tag teams. I got you.
Okay.
Anything from you, Harper, before I go to the promo? Okay. All right, they play the promo later. It's kind of a didn't it air kind of out of sequence, Doc? Or am I thinking? No. All right, so we go from that to the Dirty White Boy and Tim Horner. From the time Bob Cottle throws us to this lumberjack match, I'm just really like, man, fuck. Horner, I don't know. I had a bad feeling. And then let me tell you what pissed me off in this match more than anything. Horner does some Hulk Hogan, Hulk up type bullshit when they throw it to the ring.
You want to know my note on that?
What?
I said, is Horner hulking up or having a seizure?
Jesus Christ. Thank God Orndorff is one of the lumberjacks out there. Orndorff is able to help Dirty White Boy while the referee's back is turned. Orndorff throws Dirty White Boy some type of gimmick to hit Horner with. White Boy hits Horner, gets the pin by cheating. I thought it was great. Tim Horner lost again. Cornette, thank you so much. I wouldn't want to see this Horner mullet dude with the strap. I'm worn out on Horner a little at this point. However, I'll ask Harper what he thought about the match.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm worn out from his from fucking watching a wrestling. I just want him to keep doing promos. That's it.
We just want to laugh at his promos.
Yeah, man. If you're having a shitty day, just watch a Tim Horner promo.
I posted that this morning, actually.
Did you?
I said, yes. I said something like, if you're having a bad day, or last night, go to the BTT Twitter. I was like, if you're having a bad day, just turn on a Tim Horner promo and your day will get brighter. He's like watching that the little midget guy from the Luchador Federation. I don't know which one it was. Horner's like watching that guy. It's like every time you see that shit, you get a good laugh. You know what show I'm talking about, Doc?
You're the guy that gets kicked.
I know what you're talking. I know what you're talking about, and that works every time. This guy just makes Horner just makes me want to
barf.
Go on a murderous rampage.
Oh, okay. What were your thoughts on the match, Doc? I didn't ask you.
You know, I think it was good old-fashioned cheating. You know, they keep the belt on Dirty White Boy. They're pushing towards this Garvin Horner PO Dirty White Boy thing that doesn't do much for me. And just leading up to it, the Horner Garvin promos are going to be great. And they already are. Wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So he just led me into the next spot, which is Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff. Here it is. This is right after the match that just happened where Horner lost the strap. Horner didn't lose the strap. My apologies. Dirty White Boy retains with help from Paul Orndorff. So here's the interview that happens after.
That you would come in and interfere in the match to help the Dirty White Boy defeat White Lightning Tim Horner.
Do you think for one minute that is a big, that is a blatant lie? You know something, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, it's been a conspiracy between my man right here, Dirty White Boy, and myself. You think he needs my help to beat Horner? Heavens no, he doesn't need it. You know, you need glasses like Armstrong needs a new pair of glasses. You just don't see what the truth is and what's happening. All the matter is that my man still got the belt.
The truth is that Tim Horner, I took you out in that ring, and just like I said, I beat you in the middle, 1, 2, 3, by myself, and you can't handle that, can you, boy? We'll take a real good look at the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. You ain't. I am, and if Ronnie Garvin or anybody else wants to stand beside you, you look right here when I got standing beside me, baby, because I am, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, and you ain't, and you never will be. Now, get out of my face.
You know something else? Those people out there might as well just start liking it.
Hey, Paul, the beer's on me.
All right. I thought that was actually good and effective. Doc, what'd you think?
Beer's on Dirty White Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Paul Orndorff calling the interview a liar. Harper, do you have anything else?
Yeah. I love how he basically he tells you the complete opposite of what you just saw.
Yeah. Which Ric Flair did that a couple weeks ago.
Yes, exactly. That's
You're not going to play the Garvin Horner promo, are you?
You don't want to hear it?
You just gotta fuck with his shit, you know, to get underneath his skin.
Dude, I love it. I actually like it because he says something in there that I'm like, I gotta play it. Let me play it, because I gotta respond to one thing he said. I'm like, you stupid son of a bitch. Here it is.
You know, I've kind of cooled off, Ronnie, a little bit, but I can't forget, and I can't get it out of my mind. You know, every time I go up against the Dirty White Boy, it's got some kind of interference, and now it's Paul Orndorff. He wants to stick his nose in. Well, you know, my wife's been on me, and my parents have been on me. They say I'm changed, I'm different, I'm going off on them for no reason, you know, and it all stems around this title. Well, Paul Orndorff, he wants to stick his nose in my business, and if anybody knows anything about Paul Orndorff, I know it's you. And I just want to ask you now, Ronnie, if I've got a fight too, I may be pretty tough, but I ain't stupid. So I want to know if you want to stand by my side and let's take
these
guys on.
Well, I don't claim to be the best, but there's one thing I claim is my word is my bond. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand by you, but I'm going to tell you, you got to take it easy. When you go off like that, you're going to be just like Paul Orndorff. You see how crazy he is? Well, that's the plan we got to have, is we got to make the dirty white boy act like Paul Orndorff, go out of his mind. We got to send these boys to the insane asylum. At the same time, we're going to kick their butt. We have killed two birds with one stone. We drive them out of their minds, possibly out of wrestling, make them lose money, their temper, they're going to get fined. That's the way you got to get. Steal their robes, steal their boots, whatever we got to do. That's the tactic. You stay cool, drive them nuts. So and we're going to do it.
So you're my partner?
Oh, you're darn right. You're going to count on it.
White boy, you and Orndorff are looking in for some bad trouble.
That's motherfucker.
Yeah. As opposed to good trouble?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
We got some wet rain coming.
You can tell he didn't want to hear what Garvin had to say. He was like, nah, I don't want to no. Will you be my partner or not? I don't want to listen to your advice, though.
Did you hear at the very beginning when Horner said, my wife and parents have been on me? No shit. You're an aggravating, no promo cutting ass clown. They need to be on you to improve your performance. Because, god damn. I'm pretty sure I can take my 12-year-old, roll him out there, and he could cut a better promo than Horner could ever cut, and he ain't never had a second of promo class. This dude just... But it's a necessary evil. Oh, my wife and kids have been on me. My wife and parents, I'm sorry. I'd be on you too, bro. Okay.
That's nice.
Anything else, Harper?
I just love how... Garvin's advice is basically just go destroy his property. veteran advice from a former NWA champion. Bro, just go fuck with his shit, man. Rib him.
He told him to steal.
Yeah, exactly.
Go steal his boots. Go get under his skin that way.
Yeah.
We got thievery. Yeah. Dutch called it. We got thievery in the Smoky Mountains. Doc, you got anything else before we move to the next segment?
I can't tell you how done I am with this shit.
He's mad with Horner. Well, we are going to move on to the next segment, and this is a big part of the show. It basically is about 21, 22 minutes, and it's Les Thatcher, and he's going to narrate us through of the four matches of Thanksgiving Thunder. So I've got some notes here. However, prior to Thanksgiving Thunder, Les starts us off, and he tells us that in Harlan, Kentucky, the Rock and Roll Express won the belts from the Heavenly Bodies in what was called a hospital elimination match, meaning each man is eliminated when he starts bleeding. So basically, it's like a first blood match. Now, it's key to note that the Rock and Roll Express won the belts that night. And this was before the Thanksgiving Thunder tour. But a note here is Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies did leave them laid out. So in true heel fashion, they won the belts in Harlan, Kentucky. But Cornette and Heavenly Bodies laid them out. Doc, did you have notes from that part of the from that match in Harlan?
First of all, leading into it, somebody ought to help Les out, because he's wearing a suit that blends into the background, so it's hard to see where Les starts and the background in. But as far as the hospital elimination match, they're bleeding on the first night, and we haven't even started the four nights.
Right. This isn't even.
This is like you get so excited about the big night you have tomorrow night that you get too excited and drink the night before, and then you're hungover for the night that you really wanted to go out and kick it.
Yeah, it was like that. To me, that's
three
was
of
like
the four
super
guys,
weird.
Three of the four guys bled. You had Powder, Racket, Blood, Blackjacks get brought out, and this wasn't a big crowd they were doing it in front of either.
This shit was off the chain, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Was this the one where Kyle was whacking people with that blackjack?
Yeah. Okay, so just so y'all know, doing a little research on the fly just now, Thanksgiving was November the 26th. This match actually took place November the 13th, 1992 in Harlan. So this was actually like
before like, the taping, around the taping of the last ones we've been covering. They just didn't tell anybody.
Right. And okay, and then I'll give you some more. I'll let you in on something else too. That was November 13th in Harlan. November 14th in Morristown, Tennessee, the Rock and Roll Express beat the Heavenly Bodies again. They retained the title. So they had that match on the 14th. They also had another match November 20th of 92 in Hurley, Virginia, where they beat the Heavenly Bodies. So all of this is going down. Like, you know, nobody knows about this because this is a day and age before Twitter and all that other bullshit. And there's no way to, you know what I'm saying? There's no way to know. I mean, I guess if you were in the arena and drove to all these sites, you'd know. And they also had another match November 21st of 92 in Chilhowie, Virginia. I don't know if I'm saying that right. At the Chilhowie High School. And it was, again, they were the champs and they beat the Heavenly Bodies. Just a regular match. So all of that is before the next set of TV tapings, which is weird. The next set of TV tapings that we cover starting next week, those actually took place November the 23rd of 92. So 5 days before all of this airing, there's actually other TV tapings taking place. It's just it's a weird world that wrestling used to be that could never be again due to the day and age of social media and whatnot. I mean, you just think about that. So I laid out a lot there, but that's what was interesting, how far in advance this Harlan, Kentucky one took place. So now that said, we go to Harper. Did you have anything from the Harlan, Kentucky one?
I tell you, the best thing about this match was watching those two cops trying to keep the crowd back. Did y'all notice that?
Yeah.
That shit was fucking awesome.
It's real. Yeah. It's still real to them, damn it. I bet you it's still real to them to this day, too.
It probably is.
Okay. So then we go to the first stop in Thanksgiving Thunder, which is in Hazard, Kentucky. And so Hazard, Kentucky, falls count anywhere in the building. The footage from the match is not the best, but basically Cornette uses ether on Ricky Morton and Dr. Tom pins Morton and the Heavenly Bodies. They win the belts back. So we got another change. This is the second change of hands of the belts. Doc, what were your thoughts on the Hazard, Kentucky falls count anywhere in the building match where Corny uses ether?
We got a bigger crowd here. And
yeah.
This one was wild. They were roaming up and down the aisle. I mean, the vantage point of the camera, like you said, wasn't good, but it was still, you could capture that. It was a wild scene. And I told you this, I think, this week at work. I wish there were other things in my life that made me as happy as seeing that ether rag get whipped out. Because every time I see it, it brings just so much joy to my life. And so little of this worthless existence does. But that ether rag is just fantastic every time.
Yeah, I like the... I think I've told you this too. I don't know if I've said it on the show, but I had forgotten how much Cornette also used ether in Mid-South. As I'm rewatching Mid-South, I've seen two other instances where he've used it that I did not remember. I knew of the one time that he did, but which was almost like the first time he used it in Smoky Mountain. But I mean, it actually was the same exact angle. But there's another time he used it on Hacksaw Duggan in Mid-South, and I completely whiffed on it. But yeah, I agree. There is nothing like pulling out some ether. I really hope Harper gets to put some ether on someone in Wildcat.
Me too.
Here's the other thing I wanted to ask.
You need to talk to Luke about that, Harper. I really do.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys this. Did y'all catch Corny throwing the rag into the stands afterwards?
Yes.
Which is great. It's great on two levels. It gets rid of the evidence, but everybody around them is going to smell ether because whatever he was using had ether on it. So it wasn't like pure ether, but it sells the fact that, holy shit, this shit's real. This shit has ether on it.
Yeah, smell it. Yeah, it smells like,
He said that. He said that when I was on the Jim Cornette Experience. He said sometimes you throw it into the crowd, and he's like, it's real ether, so it's not like they can't say it's fake. So, yeah. Right. Yeah, throw that shit into the crowd. Maybe one of them dumb some bitches will smell it. Look, I'm a wrestling fan, so I'm ribbing myself as much as I am you guys. So, yeah, no. Here's the sad part about that, Doc. What if, like, a fucking 8-year-old kid caught that bitch and put it to his nose?
Ah, fuck him.
That's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah, yeah. Collateral damage.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Harper, did you have anything from it, or were you good to the next one?
Was this the plastic bag match when he puts the fucking plastic bag over his head?
No, we still got two more to go.
So let me keep a running total here. So match one, which we know now happened a couple of weeks earlier, but we're getting five matches that we're going to get to see parts of here. Or there's five matches total that they're going to recap for us. First match, three of the four guys bled, and we had powder, rackets, blood, and blackjacks. Fall two, we had an ether rag, or match two. So now we're to match three.
It gets confusing because this is match three, but it's the second stop in Thanksgiving Thunder. And this is in Welch, West Virginia. It's a Texas death match. Thatcher says there's no footage of this match, but the Rock and Roll Express won the belts back from the Heavenly Bodies. I really didn't have any notes because there's no footage.
Ten falls.
What'd you say?
Ten falls.
Yeah, it was a 10-fall match. So, but we don't get to see any of it, so we don't know how it all went down, and he doesn't really articulate to us how it went down. We go from that one to now the next stop in Thanksgiving Thunder, which is in Johnson City, Freedom Hall, and it is a street fight match where anything goes.
Let me give you my last note on this first.
Okay.
This was wild-assed.
This was wild-assed.
This is where Gibson gets suffocated, Harper. This is the one you're thinking of. And I'm gonna get to that in a minute. So I should say, at this point, the Rock and Roll Express are the champs again, because it flip-flops so many times. They're the champs going into this match. It's a wild brawl. There's no rules. Cornette uses the racket on Morton, and then Cornette uses a rope or cord of some sort and strings Morton to the bottom rope, I guess kind of hanging him a little bit. Morton is bloody and battered. Lane and Pritchard, they get on Gibson, and as Morton is bloodied and battered getting towards the end of this match, and that's when they try to suffocate Robert Gibson with a plastic bag over his head, which I don't remember seeing that happen, where they try to actually suffocate someone. Morton does get loose and saves Gibson. Cornette gets involved after a bunch of shenanigans, which there's no way I can recap on this. Pritchard hits Gibson with a loaded boot. Pritchard then pins Gibson. Heavenly Bodies win the belts back. Like you said, Doc, this was wild as fuck. They tried to kill Robert Gibson by suffocating him.
They tried to kill Gibson after they tried to hang Morton to the bottom rope.
Let's kill motherfuckers today. I mean,
hold on. When Morton was tied to the rope, Corny and whichever Heavenly Body it was just stood there punching him forever. So he's a bloody mess and hung. And then they're like, okay, let's go suffocate Gibson.
let's go kill these motherfuckers. Shit.
And then that's not the end of it, because then the chairs get whipped out. And my note was, at least the Heavenly Bodies are knowing to get their hands up here, which you didn't know 4 years later when in your wrestling career. But somehow the Heavenly Bodies knew this in 1992.
I told you, and man, then, I had people telling me don't put my hands up because don't be a fucking pussy, boy. Leave your hands down. Take that chair shot. Iceman King Parsons was the one who told me, man, put your hands up.
And then, you know, so Smoky Mountain is old school, and ECW was the barbed wire tables and chairs, but this match had tables and chairs in 1992.
Well, yeah, but it was it wasn't like an everyday thing they had built to this point.
Right, I get that. It's just weird how we remember things one way and another way. But this match was, it should have been called just the kitchen sink match.
See,
because in hindsight, you had powder, tables, rackets, microphones, tying people to the hanging people with a rope, plastic bags over heads, chairs, and blood everywhere.
Oh yeah,
I'm
yeah.
in.
No,
I'm in. Where do I sign up?
Oh well, I agree. Where do I sign up? Going wrestling. Okay, so again, the bodies, they win the belts back at this point. Harper, do you have anything else from that match where we saw them try to kill Gibson and Morton, literally?
Yeah, I mean, it's just when I saw that bag come out, I'm thinking
it's still
knows,
real to me, damn it.
Right. Like, everyone knows on that bag it says, keep out of the way of children in case of suffocation. And so everyone in that crowd knows exactly what in the fuck they're trying to do by putting the bag over his head.
We're gonna smother this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a crazy visual, but I don't think you can undersell how crazy it was for Funk to do that to Flair in 89 in NWA on a national level.
Yeah.
People talk about Flair. Flair says it. I did the first hardcore shit in the business. I got Paul driven on the table and had a bag put on my head by Terry Funk.
That's true.
I'm going to start doing that shit. I'm going to put a bag on someone's head.
Harper.
Don't forget to take it off.
Harper. You got to fucking. I want you to ether someone so bad. I really do. I just want you to ether someone. I do.
Harper, you're going to get a FedEx in the mail. It's going to be from Mike. It's going to be a can of ether with the, you know, a note that says, you know what to do.
Doc, can you see a video where Harper jumps up on the ring apron, whips out the fucking towel with his jacket on, sleeveless jacket, and sprays that bitch down and gets in the ring and smothers somebody with it? I'm telling you, it'd be awesome. I want to see it. Okay, let's go to the last stop in Thanksgiving Thunder. So, this is the fifth match total, but the fourth stop in Thanksgiving Thunder, since there was a match prior to Thanksgiving Thunder where the belts changed hands. Now, we're in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. It's the Four Faces of Fear barbed wire cage match. Anything goes. Anything, absolutely anything. It's a short clip that they show. We don't get the full thing. Happens very quick, but I think from what I saw, the Rock and Roll Express appeared to maybe use ether in a towel, but I couldn't really tell. Doc, what did you catch from it? Because it was a real quick clip, and it was kind of hard to see what was going on, but they express Rock and Roll win.
The Coop is back.
Oh, yeah.
Powder's back. So that's three Powders, and they've used Powder in in three of the four matches we've seen.
Damn right.
And we didn't get to see the fourth one. So, you know, more ether. Gotta love more ether. You can never use, you know. And my final conclusion from all of this is a discussion question for the crew. So does this qualify as hotshotting the title?
Probably.
yeah. You would have bouncing around all over.
Yeah. The title, I mean, we had it change hands five times in that little bit of time. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you can, I guess you might could say that, maybe. Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
Oh, but boy. This whole set of, like you said, this takes like 20 or so minutes in the episode. And in my opinion, it's worth all 20 minutes. It's awesome. It's entertaining. It's just great wild ass wrestling that this is the point we're at with this feud, is that these teams do not like one another, and it's personal, and the only way to settle it is with powder and ether and chairs and blood and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me give you some notes too from the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour. So November the 26th, which was Thanksgiving Day in Hazard, Kentucky, according to my records, there was 1,500 people there on that night. So, you know, this is their first major holiday, and they drew 1,500 in Hazard. They drew 500 November the 27th, the next night, in Welch, West Virginia. They drew 975 the next night, which would have been Saturday night, in Johnson City, Tennessee, November the 28th. And they drew 1,050 November 29th, 1992, which would have been the last match. They drew 1,050 in Knoxville. So just some notes about, you know, what they drew. I mean,
so here's the thing. But here's the thing.
What?
500, you're like, that doesn't seem like a lot. Y'all make fun of indies for drawing 200. Dude, there's only 2,400 people that live, like 2,000 to 2,400 people that live in Welch. And I get it that not everybody that is there is from the town. But if they were, that's a fourth of the town.
Yeah, agree, 100% agree. And you got to remember, this is the first year. So, you know, the TV may have been relatively new in, I mean, I know it wasn't new in like Johnson City and whatnot, because, I mean, they had been there before. But, you know, at what point, you know, how new was the TV in Welch? I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. But still, you got to figure it did pretty good for over a four-night span. You know, 1,500, 500, 975, and 1,050. I mean, they pretty much at three of the – if you – I know 975 is just below 1,000, but you could say for three of the four, they drew basically 1,000 people. So, I mean, to me, that's a – you're doing a good job. They averaged about 1,000 people. So, yeah, hell of a job.
I bet they stay in business forever.
Probably. There we go. Well, so we can't end this without Harper. Any other thoughts on those matches before I go to the Rock and Roll Express promo? All right, let's roll. He's probably over. Okay, on mute. Let's roll through to the promo. It's the Rock and Roll Express, and this is after they recap all the matches. So here it is.
Yeah. You know, brother, and I'd like to thank all the nice fans out there that stood behind the Rock and Roll Express through thick and thin. We told the fans, Rick, we could do it, and by God, we are now the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
You got that, Robert. You know from experience of being champions right here in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you got the toughest competition in the world. Because in the last 2 weeks, we have been Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions on three different occasions. But there's one thing left we got to do. Throughout all the matches that we have had with the Heavenly Body, it's always been Jimmy Cornette sticking his nose where it don't belong. Well, it's not going to be over Jimmy Cornette until we get our hands on you. That's why we asked for a handicap match with you on the Heavenly Body side with the titles on the line. Because we know for sure, Jimmy Cornette, we can beat your Heavenly Bodies. And when it's over with, it's on you, baby. It's all up to you to see what you got, Jimmy Cornette, because we don't think you got nothing. All you got is a big mouth with hot wind, baby. And we're going to prove to all the Knox fans right here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling that rock and roll is here to stay. We're not here to play.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first.
Jibjiving socialite, what?
He didn't say none of that.
I know. I was just thinking, how come Morton can say the same shit over and over and I don't get tired of it, but Horner says anything and I'm ready to murder.
Okay. Harper, anything?
He just say that he's fucking going to get his hands on him. He's finally going to get his hands on fucking Jim Cornette.
That's right.
We've been waiting for years.
Yep.
It's like the coyote getting the roadrunner.
All right. Well, we go from that to a rather quick one from Bullet Bob Armstrong. And Bullet Bob, he's got to give an update. If you remember last week, he said, let me not ruin it. So here it is.
As women right now, here's Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. And Commissioner, I understand that you've got some exciting news for all the wrestling fans as sort of a special Christmas present.
You know, you're right, Bob. We certainly appreciate all the fans writing the letters to us, the way they attend the matches. This is our first year in professional wrestling. This organization has done wonders, and I thank the fans right now for it because they're the ones who made it this way. And rather than just saying thank you, we're going to do something about it. This Christmas weekend will be called Christmas Chaos. Now, this is a conjunction with the TV station that you're watching right now. You're watching Smoky Mountain right now. We're going to be giving a lot of details later, Bob, but right now I want everybody to be thinking about Christmas. It's almost here. Christmas Chaos, some of the lowest prices that you've ever been able to see a wrestling match before, and we want to call it Fan Appreciation Night for all you people out there, so be listening later for more details about Christmas Chaos. And one more thing. Last week I told the Stud Stable that they'd have their championship match with the Heavenly Bodies. Well, it's not my fault. The Heavenly Bodies are not the champions anymore. Now, I've signed that match for December 12th, Morristown, Tennessee, East High School, the Studs and the Bodies. Now, Jimmy Cornette, I can't help it if you're not champion. Let the chips fall where they may in Morristown.
Fans, that's going to be something. And don't forget the special Christmas present either. All right, we'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
Okay, Doc. I need to... I almost want to play what comes up next before we really talk about what...
Keep going,
Bob. Okay.
Keep rolling.
Yeah. So you're good with that. That's what I thought. All right. It's important to pay attention to this because I really think this is one of the better Down and Dirties that we may see throughout Down and Dirty, just because of based on who's in it. So here it is. Let's cue it up.
Everybody, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. Today on my program, my special guest, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, and they're going to give us their comments on the upcoming Christmas chaos. Jimmy? Well, you know, the Rock and Roll Express, it wasn't bad enough that they stole our belts. It wasn't bad enough that they ripped us off like thieves in a night. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves could not even begin to equal the ripoff that we suffered at the hands of the Rock and Roll Express. Now, they have gone to Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and they've got this situation. It's a 3-on-2 handicap match at Christmas Chaos. Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and me in the ring, three of us against the two of them. Now, they got to be crazy in the first place because there's no way they can beat Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Bodies, together, much less with a man of my caliber in the ring. But I don't want to get in the ring. I'm afraid I might hurt them and get arrested. That's why I don't want to get, not because I'm scared. No. I don't want to get in the ring. But you know something else? I am so upset at what's happened with the situation where Bob Armstrong went out and signed a match with us against the Stud Stable, where we were to defend the title before we were stolen from, that's why I've asked my good friends Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the Stud Stable, to come on in here, guys. It's good to see you guys.
How y'all doing?
You know, Bob Armstrong set this match up trying to instigate, trying to stir things up between us and our good friends. But, of course, I know it's not going to work because, you see, now that is the unfortunate part about it. Now that we're no longer the champions, don't have the belts right now for the time being, there's no point in having the match anymore, so we might as well. You know, it would have been a great thing. I would have loved to have seen it. They would have, you know, everybody would have fun. But I guess there's no more reason to have the thing, so we'll just forget about it.
I talked to Jimmy. He said we might ought to go ahead and have the match. What about contenders, Dutch?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Robert? We're not the champions anymore, so there's no sense in having the match anymore, you know, man. That's just a waste of time.
Well,
yeah,
I just figured it'd be the best bet, you know, Bob Armstrong. We don't want to get the commissioner mad or nothing. No, Let's go ahead and have the match. Let's find out who the number one contender is here. Dutch, what do you think?
Okay,
you know, let me be the first guy to say this. I've admired you guys a long time, you know. I appreciate it. You know, I just want to say this. Right off the bat here, you know, even though you guys haven't had the national exposure that we have, I've always admired you guys because you've been on top of the game right here in the local little small-time stuff, and it'd be a pleasure for us to wrestle you, but, you know, no more belts, so what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, we really don't have
Hey, Stan, let me tell you something. You know, we used to being the champions. We've been champions all our lives, and you might say top dog, so to speak. We used to the wrestlers coming to us to get a title shot, kind of like what you guys have been doing. You know what I mean?
Jimmy, you know, I tell you what, if you guys are set on the match, I can tell you this, at least I know that it'll be a clean match. I know we won't break the rules, and you guys won't break the rules. Yeah. We sure won't break the rules. You got my word on it. You got Stan's word. I know you got Jim's word on it, too, guys. So,
I'll tell you what,
sportsmanship, that's something that we live by, and if we do have the match, I know that's something that's going to take place. It's nothing but sportsmanship. I tell you what, Dutch, I wish you could be there to see it, you know, because it should be a great match. I'm sorry you can't be there.
Well, I am going to be there. See, Jimmy, I'm the associate member of the Stud Stable, as you can tell by my Tennessee Stud honorary jacket, and I'm going to be there just to see a great wrestling match.
Well, Dutch, you know, I've admired you. I've known you. I've admired you for years and years and years. I was 5 years old. I was looking up at you when you were a veteran, you know, and I said, man, I admire that Dutch Mantel, but you're taking too much on yourself, you know, Dutch. Just between me and you, you're taking too much of a load on yourself. You need to stick with your commentary. You're a commentator. You're doing great. Bob Cutt will be nothing without you. Stay there.
Am I with you guys or not?
Yes, you are.
Well, Jimmy, I'm going to be right across the ring from you. If we have the match, I'm going to be right there.
You don't want to miss this one, Dutch.
Our hands in sportsmanship and in friendship.
Okay.
Put it there, pal.
Thank you.
It's going to
be a great match. Be a great match. There you had it, ladies and gentlemen. Down and Dirty with Dutch. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
That shit was awesome. I'm going to throw it to Harper first, see what Harper's got.
Are you turning face?
Man.
Stud Stable?
There's a whole lot going on there that
That was like Bizarro World.
Yes. Doc, I'm sure you got a lot of notes. I'll let you chime in and then I'll add mine.
My first note is this is great. If you don't like this, I don't. This is wrestling. This is wrestling. Somebody get a chant going. This is wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, when they say now that they get out there and talk for 15 minutes and it's bad acting, those guys were acting and they were kind of just, I mean, Corny and Fuller and Dutch. I mean, they were, their timing was great interacting with each other, not just cutting a promo. The Heavenly Bodies are going to put down, you know, the Stud Stables. We respect you because you're the little guys kind of thing. It's yeah. just there's so many layers going on there that are so great. I don't honestly remember I do not remember that the Studs turn face. So if that's the case, I'm fine if this is going to be a little heel versus heel action. I'm okay with that.
I am too. Robert Fuller here is a master. Because Cornette is like, you know, ain't no sense in having a match. I mean, we're not champ. You know, we've been friends a long time. And Fuller's like, I don't know there, Jimmy. I mean, let's go on and have the match, man. We, you know, number one contendership. Let's see what's happening here, boys. I mean, come on. And the Heavenly Bodies like.
It was as if somebody, they were out there standing around because that's all these hardworking blue-collar types always tell you how hard they're working. And every time you drive down the road and you see them standing there, they're always standing there talking to one another in a big circle. But anyway, it'd be like if they're standing there and they're looking at the car and Corny's like, I think I fixed the problem. And Fuller's like, you know, I think maybe if you tried that over there, that might work, you dumb motherfucker. It was just so natural. I mean, it was as natural as if they were standing out in the yard having a cigar and working on a car, drinking a beer.
In the crawfishing by Cornette in the Heavenly Bodies is subtle, but mm-hmm. it's noticeable to where you're like, and that's kind of why like it makes it seem like Fuller and Golden maybe turning face, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to let anything out.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, this is good. Fuller. Fuck Robert Fuller, man. I'm such a big Robert Fuller fan these days. God damn.
Yep. Robert Fuller. You know what? Yeah, it's man. Like, so when Horner comes on the screen, when I'm watching these and I'm in like, especially the local promos, he comes walking in, I'm like, I have this just reaction. It's like subconscious. I go,
ugh.
I have the exact opposite reaction when either Fuller or Smothers comes on the screen, almost like a little girl that goes, so instead of exhaling like a big,
yeah,
I'm like, I kind of draw my breath in because I know something good's about to happen.
Amen. God, I'm with you. Go ahead, Harper.
I can't wait to see this.
You and me both.
Is this on the next episode?
We're gonna get off for recording today, and Hoffer's gonna play the next one. He's got a seat. He's gonna be like he's been with Game of Thrones. Are you caught up on Game of Thrones yet?
I'm still on season 5.
Okay, he's getting there. He's getting there.
Yeah.
Doc, anything else from this promo? I thought this was one of the better Down and Dirties. I really do.
My note was this segment was great, and I made sure to put great in all caps so I didn't remember it in case you didn't think so or something.
Yeah, this was fantastic. God, this was so good. While I'm thinking about it, check us out on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Give us a follow. And then our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the like button, comment on the episodes whenever we drop them. And then while you're on the Facebook page, Booking the Territory, click the Shop Now button and go get your very own Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, and our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast tee is there as well. Check it out. It's a Pro Wrestling Tee store. Any of the links that I just mentioned, they are in the show notes on the description, whether you're looking at it on your Apple phone or whatever the fuck you're listening to this by. It's in the show notes. Yeah, I just said a Tim Horner. My bad.
Yeah, no, for real.
At least I can own up to it. Shit. Well, we go to the next match, and it is the Mongolian Stomper versus Kevin Sullivan. It's a recap. This is a brawl. They beat the piss out of each other throughout the arena where you really can't even see because of the lighting. Eventually, they get back to the ring. Night Stalker interrupts this, though, and the referee calls for the bell due to the interference. The bell is ringing like crazy. A few guys hit the ring like Fulton, Eagle, Smothers, etc. They eventually clear the ring, but the Stomper doesn't want help. And Stomper even starts whooping ass for the people that helped him, for what that's worth. Doc, your thoughts?
Well, Sullivan doesn't let Stomper get in the ring to start. And it's got to be a wild-ass sign that the babyface good guy is coming to the ring with the theme from the horror movie Halloween in the background.
Yeah.
That's a creepy-ass song, and here comes your babyface to it. So that's off to a good sign. Just so you know here, Sullivan is 43 when the bell rings. Stomper is 56. So you got 99 years of brawling going on there.
Wow.
And it leads to even more. What?
He's in good shape for a 56-year-old right there.
Fuck yeah, he is. And it leads to even more hilarity after the match.
Yeah, this is so after the match, did you want me to play that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's wild. They're in the back, and Stomper is like a wild animal, like Bigfoot or something, and is trying to track down Sullivan, and he tracks him down, and it turns into a wild fight that everybody's trying to break up. Did you have any other notes from it, Hopper?
It just showed that he's so crazy that he's attacking the people that are trying to help him.
Yeah. It's just that, insane. That was crazy.
Yeah. He's such a maniac. So
yeah,
Doc, I love stuff like this. And like, so Sullivan's back there. I think his boots are already off, and they're throwing blows in the locker room. And that's back when they didn't do this every Monday night. So it was kind of you didn't get just a glimpse in the locker room back then, right? And right as it's breaking off, Dixie comes running through. He's loose. And here comes the Stomper pushing his way through to get at Sullivan. So, it's corny, it's crazy, it's kind of hokey, but I loved it.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't do that back then all the time.
Uh-uh.
Like them backstage where something went down like that. And, you know, okay, let me tell you, you know the difference between that and what you see on Monday night that makes it so natural is they were interviewing Bullet Bob when this happened. So it was not like, a camera just happens to catch something in the back because people are talking. Like some fake made-up shit. They were actually interviewing Bullet Bob when Stomper decides to get loose. So to me, it makes it more natural, more believable than, there just happens to be a camera back there when some shit goes down.
That theory holds true until you have film going on when they break Dusty's arm in the parking lot. But whatever, I don't need that to
that's sense. True about Dusty's arm breaking. I agree there. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. All right. Well, then we got a local promo. It's a Jim Cornette local promo. Did we want to hear this one, Doc, or what?
I didn't have any notes on it.
Okay. I'll put it on YouTube and we'll play it at the end of the episode. No big deal. We go from that to Bullet Bob Armstrong. So now this is kind of recapping, I guess we're pretty much recapping the entire episode. So what's his name? Bob Cottle. So here it is.
Fans, it's been a great hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You've just seen some of the tremendous action that took place during the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour. And right now, here's Commissioner Bob Armstrong again, who whet our appetites a little earlier for Christmas Chaos. Have you got any more information on that one?
You know, Bob, I've been a busy boy. I've been on the phone with the board of directors, and I've come up with a triple main event for Christmas Chaos. Now, I want you to listen to this.
All right.
The Mongolian Stomper and a partner. And the reason I say a partner, so far nobody has signed with a man because you know what a nut he is. Right. He's crazy enough. He can whip anybody in his way. But when he finds that partner, he's going to be going against Mr. Evil himself, Kevin Sullivan, and that huge Night Stalker friend of his. Also, the second triple of the triple main event, Tim Horner and Ronnie Garvin versus the Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff. How about that one?
Yes, sir.
And how about the next main event? A 3-on-2 handicap. Rock and Roll gets that chance at not only the Heavenly Bodies, but Mr. Jim Cornette will have his bunch in that ring just as well instead of outside running around. And if you think this is something, that's three main events. The preliminary card on Christmas Chaos looks like a main event in any arena in the world. I'll be coming back to you with more of it later.
All right, fans, you heard that. We'll be giving you more information on Christmas Chaos. That's an event you don't want to miss. Hey, it's been a great hour. Next week right here, it's the Dirty White Boy versus Tim Horner for the title, and we'll see you then.
All right, that wraps it up. Go ahead, Doc, give me your thoughts.
I really enjoyed seeing all the matches from the tour, the Thanksgiving Thunder, and they were really enjoyable. My only nit on it is that nothing is settled, and we're just kind of went sideways afterwards, and we're going to continue some of these feuds. And for some of them, they could go on forever. I think we're referring to like the Heavenly Bodies and Rock and Roll, and they'd still be okay. Some of them, I think, need to wrap up. That's my
Well, I agree for the most part. We did we kind of settled the Rock and Roll and Heavenly Bodies. I mean, in a maybe a little.
That's got to be over by now, huh?
Well, I don't know. No comment. But
that's nice.
The Rock and Roll did win the belts after swapping hands a few times, so we'll see. But I don't know. They're kind of transitioning to some things too, if you think about it, because we got the Stud Stable now, maybe against the Heavenly Bodies. And how does the Rock and Roll Express play into that? Think about that part. You know. So, but I think I know what you're talking about. There's other stuff that didn't get settled.
Dude, where's the Fantastics at? Are they gone?
I don't quite remember, but you're right. Bobby and Jackie haven't been there.
No.
They haven't. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to say anything, but they haven't been there. Yeah, they haven't been there. I don't know. So let's give out some anything else as we wrapped up that last segment.
Now, bro.
Disability check time. Doc, what are you giving it this week?
I had a lot of fun watching this. You know I'm a hard grader.
Mm-hmm.
I give no quarter. I'm always charging forward.
Mm-hmm.
So this may surprise you a little bit, but I'm giving this sumbitch 9.0.
Wow.
Wow.
That's high for you. Good God. I can't go that high. I will give it an 8. But 9.0 feels like a bit much. Okay. Harper, you?
I was going to give it an 8.
Okay. Yeah, 9.0 feels like a lot, Doc.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that street fight match between the Rock and Roll and the Heavenly Body.
When he tried to murder Gibson?
And Morton was crazy. I loved it. I loved the stomp. I loved the Stomper Sullivan because they were all over the damn arena. And then the Down and Dirty piece, just some hot shit going on. And this is wrestling the way it used to be and the way I like it.
Yeah, I that's true too. That's true. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you're just a hard grader. So when I see 9, I'm like, damn, he gave that thing a 9? Shit. Well, okay. Hey, if you want to listen to other 9s and 9-type episodes, I suggest that you check out our patrons and become a patron. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Become a patron. Become a Hall of Famer like William Shepard at ShepDaddy32, Martin Howell, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti at Tim Moretti and CodeMan822, and at Unconvinced Ray, David DeVries. They are our Hall of Famers. Also want to thank Drew, Big Rich, T. Steele, Spy Boy, Steven CG, Mike Habercroft, Sparks Third Coast, M. Wilson, Voodoo Moon, Frog Zeppelin, K-Stone, Lone Wolf, Twit Dust, Wayne G., Adam, William, Dan, and Jason, Dan V., David, Matt, Armando, Cedric, Boone, and Marty. Thanks for being patrons. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. You know, Doc, we're coming up to the point where someone can cut a promo on you. And not only that, they can...
They're not going to. I'm not even concerned about this. This is bullshit. This
whole thing is scared.
They're scared. Yeah, they're calling y'all out. They're calling y'all out. Bitches. Well, like I said, you also get access to the Patreon episodes. Go ahead, Hopper.
The fucking bitches.
Oh, Jesus.
You heard the man.
They're fucking scared.
No. I appreciate everyone who's a patron.
I hate them all.
Okay. None of them, they like y'all. That's just funny, even when y'all curse them out. They've always said that.
Why is it so hard to hit 5 stars and just put a little, like, sentence? It's a great
Harper, here's the thing. Harper and I don't get paid in actual money, so this is like our Bitcoin to get to read these comments from the people, because Mike keeps us off the Twitter. He keeps us away from the fans. We're like Hannibal Lecter. We only get unleashed and like unshackled for the show. And so that's our only way to really get out with the people, and then you guys don't do it. So fuck him and fuck you.
All these good people. All the good people of the BTT Army.
The nice fans. The nice fans, right?
All the nice fans. Please consider it. You know, you can sign up for as little as you want. You know, hopefully you'll choose the upper level options. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. The link is in the show notes along with the Amazon referral link. That's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Use that when you're purchasing things on Amazon. We get a little bit of kickback in return. We definitely would appreciate it. All right, that said, it's government cheese time. I am going to go first, and I am going to give the government cheese to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I just thought that was one of the best promos we have seen in Smoky Mountain, and we have seen some great ones. I just really love the interaction and exchange with them. I thought it was fantastic. Doc, I'll throw it to you to give your government cheese, as named by Shara Johnson, longtime listener of the hashtag BTT Army and Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast and Booking the Territory. So go ahead, Doc.
I'm giving it to the Rock and Roll Express for that third match in the street fight where they got hung and suffocated.
Can't disagree with that. I mean, that was a hell of a
segment. And really, I could give it to both tag teams for that series and what they went through to please the nice fans out there that don't appreciate shit.
Oh, God. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, mine goes to the Rock and Roll and to the Heavenly Bodies. They basically did every way to kill someone except using a fucking weapon. And it's like the only other way is if they put a funnel in his mouth and like had like fake bleach and poured fucking like fake bleach into the fucking funnel or something.
You might should have kept that for yourself and pulled that out at a Wildcat show.
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome, huh? He's got Fabuloso.
Oh boy! That would be a Harper. That's pretty damn original.
Yeah,
if you were to do that on TV,
whip out the funnel real far from your body and show everybody, and they're like, "Why is that a funnel?" And then you stick it in his mouth real slow,
whip out the funnel.
Why they got pine saw?
Whip out the funnel, and then what you do is you go underneath the ring and pull out a big old bottle of Clorox bleach where they can see it, and you show it to him, and then you pour that some bitch down his gullet, and then he goes into convulsions and shit.
Or you could do an angle with Scott Hall where instead of bleach, you pulled out a flask.
That's nice.
What? Yeah. He's had problems. Play on real life issues to draw heat and create personal issues.
That was a lame joke, Doc. It really was.
Shut up.
That was so lame. God, that was lame. Well, hey, next week's main event is the Dirty White Boy versus White Lightning Tim Horner. Should be a barn burner. Can't wait to see the Dirty White Boy smash his skull in, Horner's skull in. That was really mean, wasn't it? Jesus Christ, what is wrong with me right now? Again, check out the links in the show description. They're all there. The Pro Wrestling Tees Store, Facebook, Twitter. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Become a patron member. It only costs a couple of quarters a month. We really would appreciate it. And use that Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, whenever you are purchasing something on Amazon. Lastly, I want to say thanks to a wrestling podcast about nothing with the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. Mondays, they have a show on the NAI Network. Thursdays on their own feed. Best way to find them is to search WPAN on your favorite podcast app, and their show will come up. Again, it's twice a week, and you can subscribe to them and learn and have fun as they talk. They talk a lot about the current product, which we never do, thank God. Oh, how great has it been that we don't have to talk about that shit anymore?
Fuck that shit, bro.
For real.
I haven't watched Raw and SmackDown in fucking months, and I feel good.
I haven't watched either, and it is a liberating feeling, Doc.
And I have no desire to. I have zero desire.
They don't have anything for me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened the other night. It was Tuesday night. My wife is in the living room, and she goes, are you watching anything? I was like, nah, I'm doing some stuff for the show right now. I was typing on the computer, and I think she hit like the guide button and was scrolling through and she saw SmackDown. She goes, what about your show? I go, what about it? I'm doing something right here on the computer for it. She goes, well, SmackDown's coming on at 7. I was like, yeah, fuck that shit. She's like, well, how do you do a show without talking about SmackDown?
Y'all, you really don't have a strong, you don't have a strong relationship with your wife, do you?
I was like, when's the last time you saw me watch SmackDown or Raw? And she said, well, you saw a segment the other night. I was like, yeah, I turned into it for a second because my Twitter was blowing up about something that happened. And I said, I watched like a minute of it. And I was like, yeah, fuck this shit. And I turned it. She's like, oh, okay. So y'all don't talk about that? Nope. What do y'all talk about?
We talk about women and their stupidity.
Yeah, we talk about broad logic. That's what we talk about. Anyway. All right, I'm tuckered out. Doc, are you tuckered out?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Like I said, check the show notes. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And show notes have all the links, all the Smoky Mountain gear you can buy, the Ron Wright shirts, T Public, but it's in the links below, so check it out. Harper, hit the tagline, get us out of here, whatever promos of the week that we have, and that wraps us up. Episode 45, December 5th of 1992. I think we got a couple of promos that we'll play at the end. And hit the tagline, Harper.
Fuck it, bitch.
You'll also see the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, taking on Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and White Lightning, Tim Horner.
You know, White Boy, you're having a hard time hanging on to that title, ain't you? That's right. Well, have you lost faith in Mr. Wright? Seems like you got Paul Orndorff now by your side. Now, you and him both are trying to defend that title. Well, at Christmas Chaos in Knoxville, Tennessee, I've got me a partner, and that's Ronnie Garvin, Hands of Stone. Now, Orndorff, you know all about Ronnie Garvin, and White Boy, you know all about me. And when we come to Christmas Chaos, it's going to be nothing but chaos.
It's Christmas Chaos, Christmas night in Knoxville for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Titles 3-on-2 handicap match, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette against these guys, the new champions, Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express.
You know, you talk about a handicap match, that's a match Brother and I asked for because Jimmy Cornette seems like some way or another he always sticks his nose where it don't belong. Well, Jimmy Cornette, this time you're going to be in the ring, the racket's going to be gone, and all heck's going to break loose right there in Knoxville.
That's right, but first of all, let's say hello to my brother Wayne and all the guys that are at Morgan County, and we wish you the best. But you see, presents are on Christmas Day, right? Well, our presents coming to us right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, because they say that we're in a handicap match, 3-2. But we see it the other way around. The handicap's going to be on your point, Heavenly Bodies, because like we said, Jimmy Cornette, this time you're going to be in a ring where we keep our eyes on you, baby. And one thing about it, we're taking you down for the 1, 2, 3.
You know, Horner, it seems like you can't ever get the job done. You want to blame everybody else for your failures. So what do? You call a Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, to be your partner at Christmas Chaos. Well, that's fine and dandy, Horner, because I went and I got myself a partner, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So at Christmas Chaos, gentlemen, we're just going to see how bad you boys really are. And can you take on the team of the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff? I don't think so.
It's Christmas Chaos at the Civic Coliseum in Knoxville Christmas night for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Titles. A 3-on-2 handicap match, the Rock and Roll Express taking on the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette.
And a tag team title on the line. You see what Bob Armstrong is doing in Knoxville, huh? He's just like the people of East Tennessee. You kick Johnny Majors out after all those years of service. It's not a wonder they couldn't put together a winning team. Those idiot East Tennessee rednecks, they can't even find the bus to get to the game. But Bob Armstrong's the same way. I've been a loyal and faithful servant of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and now he wants to get my neck broke, putting us against Fuller and Golden in Morristown. And then, Christmas Chaos, Christmas night in Knoxville, me in the ring against the Rock and Roll Express in a handicap match. I tell you what, Rock and Roll, you're going to be the one that's handicapped when that thing's over, because I got a few surprises up my sleeve, brother.